This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
So I read in USA Today that the majority of people stop GLP-1 weight loss injection shots in a year. Now, what's concerning is if you get off GLP-1s, there's a real chance you can gain all the weight back. The solution? Alma said, a natural superfood protein shake. University studies show it optimizes your metabolism so you can lose weight easily, and Alma said it's been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Use Alma said with GLP-1s or as a natural alternative. Find out more and see the university studies at almased.com. That's almased.com.
Hey, it's Jim Costa with Cash the Ticket. It's March, so Mike Valeni and I are all over the tournament again this year. There's just nothing like betting in March. Breakdowns of every region and every game. From conference tournaments to the Final Horn, we'll have the picks and the plays on every single game. Cinderella spotlights, upset alerts, and some of that value for the last team standing. It's tourney time, so hunker down and bet the board with us. Subscribe and listen to Cash the Ticket in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Mayor Scanlon, good morning. Welcome to Hardline.
Morning, Joe. Thank you for having me.
This busy week, as always. Let's start with the State of the City address, talking about some issues that the city of Buffalo is having, some fiscal issues. Where do you see the city of Buffalo now, and what are your plans to kind of turn things around?
Yeah, so financially we have challenges, as I stated the other night, but we're looking at them as an opportunity to create a better operation for us to get more efficient and a little more innovative and creative, and I think we have an opportunity to do that. We're looking at this thing on both sides of the equation. You know, you can't raise your revenue out of the hole we have. You can't cut your way out of the hole we have, so you know, we've talked to our departments. You know, the current fiscal year, we put a freeze on all the spending we needed to, and we're looking good for this year, but next year is the big challenge. So we talked to our departments to come back with a big reduction in their budgets for next year as we finalize our budget that we'll present to the council next month. And on the revenue side, we're trying to get a little creative. And one thing we did, I was down in Albany last month talking about it, is, you know, it's very easy to go and ask for money. But that's not what we're doing. We're trying to make sure we take control of things and we fix it ourselves. So a couple pieces of legislation in front of the state legislature right now that would give us an increase in revenue that I think would be extremely helpful. One's a hotel tax, and the other being the creation of a parking authority. So I think if we get those in place and we curb some of our spending, I think we'll be good moving forward.
I want to get to those things in just a second, but you know, this is nothing that's just to Buffalo. I mean, we had Brian Nowak on last week talking about very similar issues in Cheektowaga. Mayor, I know, you know, you've only been in the job a few months, but you've been in city government. How did the city of Buffalo get to this point, in your opinion?
Yeah, there's a number of factors, right? Our property taxes in the city of Buffalo, first and foremost, are very low. Obviously, I think you know that. The tax rate is one of the lowest, I think the second lowest in the state. So we don't bring enough money into our property taxes. That's a problem. And we haven't gotten creative with other revenues. I don't think we have a spending problem. We have a revenue problem. You know, we're the second largest city in the state. I think we have the fourth or fifth largest budget. So it's not like we have a spending problem. It's a revenue issue. And, you know, our AIM payment from the state has not increased since 2012. So those are issues that have caught up with us now.
You bring up the hotel tax, again, something that Cheektowaga is also looking at. This was something that was brought up last year. It didn't pass last year. Do you think it has the support this year? And I'll tell you what Pat Kaler said to our morning news team on Friday. You know, he's against it. He thinks that it will hurt an already hurting travel industry. What's your thoughts?
Yeah, I disagree. And Patrick and I talked on Friday. We had a conversation about this. If you travel, you look at your hotel bill in any other city, there are fees after fees after fees. And it's never stopped me, and I don't know anyone who's ever said, oh, you know, that fee on that hotel bill has kept me from traveling to that city. But the big thing is, for me, I'm tired of hearing people with this mentality that Buffalo has to beg for people to come here and things like that. It's a mindset that has held Buffalo back, in my estimation. We're a fantastic city, and people do want to come here. The architecture, the water, you name it. There's a lot of things that draw people here. And when people come here and use our resources, they should help offset some of the costs that it costs the city of Buffalo to maintain our fantastic cultural institutions or whatever else it might be. But if you start talking about, you know, adding this tax makes us this number city, when it comes to these taxes, I think, you know what, why are we trying to pigeonhole ourselves as a lower class city? Let's have a mindset where, listen, we are a fantastic city and let's attract people here.
Now, on the parking authority, I know you explained it on Friday to our morning news team, but what is the current situation now when we're talking about the lots, and what's your plan?
Yeah, so the city of Buffalo owns 4 parking ramps, and I don't think the city of Buffalo should be in the parking business. I don't want to be in the parking business. We would create a Buffalo Parking and Mobility Authority that would take over the ramps. They would buy them from the city of Buffalo and operate them as an authority. They would have the bonding capacity to do so and take over the maintenance of the ramps. These ramps are going to cost us millions and millions of dollars moving forward in maintenance costs and capital upgrades. And so we sell them, we bring that money in. Listen, that's not a structural fix to the budget. I know that, but it's a cushion that helps us for over the course of the next few years while we fix the budget structurally. And whether it's this parking authority or the hotel tax, you know, you asked earlier, I think, is there support for it? I do think there is support for it. We've had a tremendous amount of support from the majority leader, Crystal Peoples Stokes, in the assembly. She's been extremely supportive. We've had fantastic conversations with the governor's office. So I hope that our representatives in the Senate follow suit and help us give us these tools to help correct our budget ourselves.
You mentioned potholes as well. In your address, and Channel 7, was it yesterday or Friday, had a video of a truck, just getting stopped in its way with this pothole that was, I mean, we're talking feet deep when it finally caved in. And that's been, obviously, for anyone that's driven through the city. I went to school in the city. Now, that was 15 years ago. But if you still go down parts of Main Street past the 33, you got to check your car. What's your plan on fixing up the streets when it comes to potholes?
Yeah, we've certainly begun addressing it. You know, the freeze-thaw cycle this winter in particular damaged our roads immensely. I mean, they wreaked havoc on them. So we've had teams out. We've pulled equipment from other departments on the weekends to put blitz teams out, you know, a couple dozen pieces of equipment between public and private contractors to make sure we're addressing it. We've hit 2,000 potholes already. You know, 1,200 of those locations came in through the 311 response system. So we are listening to the public. We want to hear from them, and they're letting us know where these issues are. That one on Elmwood in Virginia the other day, that was more like a sinkhole than a pothole. If you saw the camera, you saw it just open up and collapse in. But the crew's been out there. They repaired that spot. I drove by it yesterday. It was repaired. So we're continuing to address it. And obviously over the winter, it's a little more difficult with the cold patch, but hopefully the asphalt operations will open up at the different locations. Soon we'll be able to get there and make permanent upgrades.
You know, obviously some very good news for the city of Buffalo with the news that Ingram Micro will be moving into the city, moving their offices from Amherst to Buffalo, you know, in a time where we're seeing 20,000 less people downtown a day. You got to be happy about that news and hoping that you hear some more of the same.
Yeah, I mean, it was a fantastic announcement. Obviously, 1,300 more people in downtown Buffalo is, like you mentioned, post-COVID. We're seeing 2025, maybe close to 30,000 fewer people down there. The good thing is, you know, at the city of Buffalo, I took the lead and I told everyone, I want everyone back downtown. I want the city of Buffalo employees contributing to the vibrancy of downtown. We can't have restaurants closing, things like that. Other small businesses being hurt. I can tell you we've had conversations with some other large employers who, to my surprise, have actually already started requiring employees coming back downtown. So I was thrilled to hear that from some of them. And we're trying to talk to the other large employers to follow suit. I know it can be a huge recruiting tool. The kind of hybrid work schedule for people, but they have to understand that, you know, downtown, our core has to flourish, has to thrive. In order to do that, people have to be down there. And we're working with our private partners and other organizations to make sure we're creating things that make people want to be downtown, want to come to work, because X, Y, and Z will be taking place at 4 or 5 o'clock on a Wednesday. And so, yeah, I'm going to go to work, even though I have the option to stay home, because I'd love to check out that concert or something else going on. And then we've got to continue to work to try and transition some of this office space into livable space, so we have people living down there and contributing to the vibrancy of downtown. So we'll continue to work on it, and we'll get there.
Mayor, I know we already talked about the fiscal condition. I just want to go back for a second. You mentioned COVID. A lot of talk about the American Rescue Plan, the money that the city got from that. You know, looking back on it, do you think that money was spent wisely?
In hindsight, you know, it's easy in hindsight, right, to say, oh, we should have done X, Y, and Z with it. But at the time, you know, revenues were not coming in where they were. Sales tax was an issue, all a bunch of different contributing factors. I can tell you what we did do is those organizations that wanted money and needed money, we did get money to them. I can tell you when I started in October, it was a little chaotic, obviously, to try. We were up against the deadline at the end of the year to get that money out to those organizations. Thankfully, we did. Two of them did not receive funding, but we're working with them to find other avenues to make them whole. There's paperwork issues and things like that kept them from getting their money. But we were working with them to make sure we accomplished that. But, you know, it's easy in hindsight. But, you know, at the time, I think it was right to use a lot of it for revenue replacement, because we didn't have the revenues and it kept people working. You know, the last thing I'd ever want to do is start laying people off and have that impact their private and personal life. So we were able to keep people working throughout.
Now, while all this is going on, Mayor, you also have to be campaigning. It's got to be a very interesting position to be in, right? You took the office over a few months ago, and now you're automatically in the campaign seat. Before I ask you any specific questions, how is that going?
Things are going well. You know, my kids are a little annoyed that I'm not around as much. My wife might be happy I'm not around as much, but it's going well. To be honest, you know, we have a fantastic team. We have a great message that I think is resonating with people. And we're out all over the city trying to spread that message. And the reason we're able to do that is the tremendous response and the tremendous level of support we have financially and otherwise. You know, we have raised a lot of money, which helps us get our message out. But it's more important that the number of volunteers we've had come through the door are willing to go out and get signatures, go out, knock on doors, make phone calls, send texts. It's really been humbling, to be honest, about the level of support that we've received. So things are going very well. You have 3 months left to the primary, and we'll keep going every day.
I would say I think there were more Scanlon stickers at the St. Patrick's lunch than any other candidate. So you won there.
Well, it was good to see. Like I said, it's the level of support we've received since taking office in October and straight through to today is really, it's been unbelievable, to be honest. I couldn't have imagined the level of support that we've seen. And it's, like I said, it's not just humbling, but extremely motivating.
So I got to ask you, obviously, there's been a few stories about this, and it was featured on one of our shows on Friday. You know, the talk of Jeremy Zellner, the Erie County Democratic chair, eyeing Sean Ryan's seat. Does it make you go back and look at the forums and the endorsement process as a big scam?
Listen, the process they laid out was the process they laid out. It's over. It's done with. I can question it all day long. It doesn't do me any good to do so. I'm past it. We're well into the campaign season now. And we're moving full steam ahead, and we have every intention of being successful in the primary. So whatever inner workings might have been going on, it's really, to me, it's irrelevant at this point. Our team is focused on one thing, and that's the June 24th primary and knocking on every door, sending every text, making every call we can, collecting every signature we can in order to get our message out. And I think we're doing that, and I think our message is resonating with people.
One last question. I should have asked this before the campaign stuff. Obviously, a lot of talk with my last two guests about the Canadian tariffs. You're the mayor of Buffalo. Something you're probably keeping your eye on, right?
Oh, for sure. You know, as a border city, it's a big deal, obviously. And you're aware of the number of Canadians that come in to Buffalo and Erie County and contribute to our economy. That's obviously a concern. Materials that come through here, and not just come through here, but this is their destination. Obviously, it's a concern. The other thing, the concern I have, is people might not think of this one immediately, is the hard feelings that are being developed. And, you know, I've had conversations with the mayor of Fort Erie about this and making sure that we continue to keep an open line of communication so that people don't develop a hard feelings about Buffalo or vice versa, Buffalonians about Fort Erie and Ontario, to make sure that we continue to be tremendous partners. You know, this Niagara 8, these municipalities right around here on both sides of the river, we're having conversations and meetings to make sure that none of that is happening. Again, keeping the lines of communication and the good spirits between all of our municipalities is just as important as the other stuff as well.
All right. Buffalo Mayor Chris Scanlon. Mayor, look forward to talking to you throughout the campaign process, and thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you, Joe. Anytime.